Just a brief compliment tonight. Well, before I do that, first of all, I just want to say that when I get to heaven, I want to have Scott Cook's voice when I pray. That's all. And in the spirit of Scott Cook's voice, I have another announcement to make. Brother Sonny Sundberg, where are you, brother? Right over here. I feel like we're a country church tonight, man. Brother Sonny has got tomatoes to give away tonight after the service. And let me tell you, I had some of those tomatoes at lunch today. You say, did you put them on a sandwich? Did you put them in some food? No, you eat them just plain and simple tomatoes. I mean, that's the kind of tomatoes that these are. And he's got them. He's going to have them outside afterwards. I politely ask that he not bring them in the church service for fear that I might get some thrown at me while I'm speaking tonight. But man, I tell you what, I feel like we're just, next thing we need to do is bring on a banjo or something like that. This is awesome, okay? But you all, for the summer that we've had, boy, it's been just a great summer. I feel like we hit Memorial Day, and then we just kind of put the pedal to the metal, and it's been going fast and furious, and a lot of different things going on. And let me just say, I know this, that a lot of you wear many hats. So let me thank you for that. A lot of you serve in multiple capacities, in areas where people will not see you serving because it's behind the scenes. But in the case of all of those who, I almost said volunteer, but I think probably the biblical word is just serve the Lord here at Faithway Baptist Church. Thank you for doing that. I mean, that's everybody, the Sunday school teachers, nursery workers, sound men, media guys, folks who come in and take care of little things throughout the week, the cleaning crew that'll come. We had folks here on Monday. We had folks here on Thursday. And there's always something to do, but it's amazing to see how God's people just continually come and step up to the challenge. So thank you for doing that, and I appreciate, especially as we kind of close out the summer. I know that here and there, there are going to be a couple of folks who take a trip and maybe take a vacation. Good. You need that. And our church has been really good about this year, but you always let folks know when you're going to be gone if you have an area that you cover. And we don't want to walk in on Sunday morning and figure it out then. And you've been so helpful with that everything has just gone so well. And I know school's getting started. Parents, are you excited about school getting started? I'm not even going to ask the kids right now. Well, most of you homeschool anyway. I don't know why you would be excited about it either. But hey, it's going to be a great school year, and we're excited about what God is going to do. Pray for us as we head to youth conference tomorrow. We'll be leaving tomorrow, meeting after the service tonight, go over some of those details. And then we're going to get back Thursday evening, and we look forward to, of course, if it rains us out, we'll get home earlier on Thursday because we'll be spending the whole day at the theme park. Now, how many of you love roller coasters? Raise your hand if you love roller coasters. Brother David, you ought to have both hands up right now. I'm telling you right now, if he didn't have other obligations, I know he would drive over to Kentucky Kingdom, and he would be there with us on Thursday. But we're going to have a blast. It's going to be an awesome time. How many of you absolutely hate roller coasters? You say, why would anyone do that? Man, you all a bunch of, you know, party poopers. I don't know what else to call you. I tried to think of a different word. I can't believe I just said that in the pulpit. Let's open the Bible. It's getting worse. It might get worse than this. I don't know. Daniel chapter 10. We're going to be in verse 1 tonight. I'd like to read the chapter, so stand with me as we read. And I let you sit for the long reading this morning. You're not going to be so lucky tonight. But Daniel chapter 10, let's begin in verse 1. It says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, and the thing was true. But the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. And in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set mine heart to understand, or set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. And he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I am come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth me with me in these things, but Michael, your prince. And let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd please bless the reading of your word tonight. Help us, Lord, as we work our way through this passage of scripture. Lord, we have taken time to devote to the book of Daniel, to your word in this particular corner of your word. And I pray that you would please give us spiritual insight tonight. Open our eyes as you open the eyes of Daniel, our ears as you open his ears to understand the words that are spoken. Lord, I'm thankful that we don't have to go at this thing alone. Your Holy Spirit wants to teach us tonight what's in your word. And Lord, I know where I'm incapable and where I am completely inadequate to explain. I know that your Spirit can do all things. And so, Lord, I pray that upon our church tonight, upon our gathering, that you would please minister to us the words of truth. Show us what you would have us to know. God, help us with the application, help us with the knowledge, help us with the wisdom that is here. And Lord, help us not to undervalue it. Lord, it seems like such a transitional passage. It seems like maybe it's just something that goes from one point to another. But Lord, I believe there is truth here, and I believe there are things that we need to see, and I believe there are things that if we were to look at them with spiritual eyes and with eyes that are guided by the Spirit of God, I believe tonight, Lord, that we can see what you want us to see. And so, Lord, unlock our spiritual sight and our spiritual hearing tonight so that we can process and understand and ingest the word this evening as you've called us to do. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated tonight. Daniel chapter 10 is the beginning of a 3-chapter vision. We've gone through now several passages, Daniel 7, 8, and 9. We've looked at each and every one of them as they pertain to what is to come. All of this, as we read it tonight, as we study it tonight, does speak of what's coming next. And we speak of prophecy not as a moral code. We've explained this before, but I like the way that this helps us to think about it. We look at it not as a moral code, but we look at it as a moral clock, an understanding of what is to come, knowing that our time is short. The Bible says that we should be redeeming the time, for the days are evil. You say, well, what does that have to do with us today? Well, the fact is that the days that are evil now will not grow any less evil. They will grow more and more corrupt in this world. And so the believer has to know several things. He has to know that God is always in control. That's a major theme of the book of Daniel, whether you're studying the historical or the prophetical. God is always in control. God is always working. He always has a plan. He's always got something for us. And he's not only got a plan in our situations, as we talked about this morning, but he also has a plan for us in the very end of all that we know from the world that we live in today. You say, is this world going to end someday? Absolutely it will. And we shouldn't be afraid of that. Because God is in control. God has a plan. God knows exactly what is going to take place. And he's laid it out for us to see a pattern and at least a bullet point understanding of what's going to happen. You say, well, Pastor, okay, if we see that the world's going to end and this is a clock and it's going to end soon, then what do we need to know? Well, we need to know that God is in control. But we also need to know that the time that we have to serve God while here on this earth remains short for us. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, the Bible says. Now, I want you to know that our lives are just as fragile as steam that rolls off of boiling water, as a vapor, the Bible tells us. But not only could our life end today, but Jesus could come back today. And we know that, and we understand it, and that's why we are of any way and any way interested in what is happening in Daniel chapter 10. And tonight, we see this passage of Scripture for what it is. If you were to look at Daniel chapter 10, 11, and 12, you would see these three chapters as three things. Daniel chapter 10 is the introduction. Daniel chapter 11 is the prophecy. And Daniel chapter 12 is the conclusion of that prophecy. So these three things go on. It is the final of four different visions that Daniel will see in the book of Daniel. And it establishes something very important for us tonight. Not only is it a moral clock, in other words, we've only got a short time within that's given to us to be able to share the gospel. And not only does it teach us that God is in control and the Bible can be trusted, and that, by the way, if the Bible can't be trusted, then God can't be trusted. So we know that the Bible needs to be trusted. So God's word is proven true through the book of Daniel and prophecy. Thus, God is also reinforced as being trustworthy. But we also need to know this, and this is something that every Christian needs to understand, that the world that we live in today, what we see and what we don't see are two different things. And what we can't see today with our physical eyes is that there is a spiritual war going on all around us tonight. That's not to make us fear. That's not to make us afraid. But the Bible says, and this chapter reveals, that what is happening right now is that the devil is working against God and his plan. Hey, let me just tell you something. The devil knows what God's plan is. And he won't overcome him, but he will try. And he'll try so at the expense of you and me. He'll try to do so at the expense of wrecking the lives of God's people. So there's great spiritual warfare. You know, by the way, that is true of all things spiritual. One of our adult Sunday school teachers talked to me this morning and said, you know, I enjoy doing this, but I'll tell you, I much more enjoy preparing for and teaching business principles than I do biblical principles. And the reason for that is because there's just a spiritual oppression. He wasn't saying he didn't enjoy teaching the Bible. He was saying that when you go to study a manual at your job, it's probably a little bit easier to do than when you study the Word of God. For me personally, and I'm not saying this because I need sympathy or I definitely need your prayers, but I've noticed that this summer, and I'm not trying to be cryptic, I'm not trying to be spooky, but it seems like every time I sit down to study the Word of God, there's just this spiritual war, all-out war, to keep me from understanding what is in this book. And by the way, preachers experience that, Sunday school teachers experience that, and believers experience that on a regular basis. It's why you can pick up a novel and read it and not put it down, and you set it down, and wow, that was easy. You pick up the Bible, and the phone rings, and the kids cry, and the dog barks, and everything else goes on in life that you never expected, because there's a spiritual war that's going on around you, trying to keep you from doing what God is calling you to do, trying to keep you from understanding what God is calling you to understand. So let's work our way through the passage tonight as we've done in the past. And I want us to begin in the first three verses this evening. Point number one is this, the setting of the vision. The setting of the vision. You say, what's going on here? Let's look at this tonight. The Bible says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel. A few historical facts about Daniel is this, that we believe Daniel would have been at this point about 85 or 86 years of age. We believe he served, he had retired from his public service, if you will. We know that he served at least 1 year into the reign of Cyrus. And now we are the third year into the reign of Cyrus. And the Bible says that Daniel now, 85, 86 years of age, Daniel now is too old to go home. You say, what are we talking about? Go back to the passage before sometime when you have opportunity and you can look at it. And the Bible says that those 70 years that they were in bondage were then given to Daniel. It was revealed to him by the reading of the scriptures that those 70 years were about to expire. And all of a sudden, God's people, the Jewish people who were in bondage in Babylon, now they were going to be sent home. Now they were going to go away. There were several decrees that had to take place. And of course, we know how that Zerubbabel took a group. That was the first group. There's about 42,000 people that went home to Jerusalem, but they didn't really succeed. As a matter of fact, they tried several different things, and Zerubbabel and Jeshua, one of the men there, one of the priests who would go back with them, they tried to reestablish some things. Then, of course, Ezra went back, and Ezra's responsibility was to rebuild the temple, and he had a great role to play there. And then we look at the book of Nehemiah, and Nehemiah goes back, and Nehemiah's job is to rebuild the city and to rebuild the walls around the city. And some of the most inspiring verses in Scripture of how in one hand they had a sword to fight the enemy, and in another hand they had a tool to build the wall. And that's exactly how we are today. We are battling and we are building. We are battling and we are building. And all of those things were going to take place, but Daniel, in this time frame, Daniel comes to a place where the Bible says that God showed him something. As a matter of fact, the words were, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, verse number one. A thing was revealed unto Daniel. These Jews who did not return home, some of them were like Daniel. Some of them, let's just back up a little bit. We established that some of them had gone home, but the reality is that many of them had not yet gone home. There's a few reasons that Bible scholars believe this may have been the case. Number one, it could have been because that there were actually three different deportations out of Jerusalem. In 605 BC, that's when Daniel would have been carried out, and then in 586 BC, you have to think backwards with the numbers that happened BC, okay? So we understand that, but there was a 19-year gap before the temple was completely destroyed, torn down, and all of that, and those were the things that were taken into place. So whether or not God was telling them that the 70 years would expire 70 years after 586 or 605, that's may come into play. There were other reasons that some of them didn't go home. Perhaps one of the reasons that Daniel didn't go home was because he was physically incapable. He may have been too old. He was 85, 86 years of age. He was up in years. But one of the reasons that many of them did not go home, and this is one of the sad things about this passage and the setting and why Daniel was so burdened. One of the reasons that I think the majority, 42,000 people would not have been a majority. It would have been actually a very, very slim minority of the people, the Jewish people in Babylon. A majority of the people did not go home because they were too comfortable in Babylon. They were too comfortable there. They had been successfully paganized. And by the way, that was the goal of Nebuchadnezzar when he brought them in, was to change their culture, to change their identity. They were no longer Jews. They were Chaldeans. They were Babylonians. They were to believe that which the Chaldeans believed. They were to follow the astrology and the mysticism and not worship their God. And those deportations took place. Daniel, of course, we know did not go back. Some people believe he's too old, but there may have been another reason. It could also be that he stayed behind because he knew it was his job to preach to these people and to tell them, hey, you've got to get out of Babylon. Isn't it amazing how God works in time frames when he is not limited by those time frames? This morning we said that we're constrained by that which God controls. We're constrained by time and space, but God is not constrained by time and space because he controls time and space. And yet God uses natural things many times to accomplish his supernatural purposes. Let's go on in the verse. It says that this man, Daniel, received a thing from the Lord. It was revealed to him. Verse 1, and the thing was true. Well, let me ask you this. Are there other parts of Scripture that are not true? No. That wasn't the point of the Scripture. The point of this passage was, he said, the thing was true. It was to affirm this because it was so humanly unbelievable what he was going to be told. It was so humanly unfathomable that it had to be affirmed to Daniel that, hey, I'm showing you this vision and these things that you're going to see and the knowledge that you're going to have. This is not allegory. This is not simile. This is reality. And these things will come to pass. If there's one thing we can count on about the prophecy of the end times in Scripture is that it is true and it will come to pass. Then he says this. In this same verse, the time appointed was long. That somewhat goes along with verse 14 where it says the vision is for many days. In verse 2 it says Daniel's response to this. Though he understood what was said, there were still some things he had to seek the Lord about. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Someone said that they had to specify 3 full weeks because in the chapter just prior, They had said that there were 70 weeks of years. And so this is specifically a 21-day period of time, which is also established later in the chapter. What did he do here? Well, the Bible says he ate no pleasant bread. He mourned. He fasted. He came neither with flesh or wine. Neither did I anoint myself at all time. You say, well, what would that mean? When they would go out in public, they didn't have the modern different deodorizers and different things, deodorants and things that we would have today. And so they would anoint their bodies with an oil, a scent. And when they went out to be social, to fellowship with other people, that was a custom. So what that meant naturally was that Daniel was not eating certain things. He was fasting. He was avoiding social activity. He wasn't there to have a good time. And he did all of this for 3 full weeks. That's the setting. Number two, let's see the second part. In verses 4 through 11, we then find the scene within the vision. Now, this gets exciting. I want you to see this. Verse 4, it says, in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, then I lifted up mine eyes. Now, notice who he saw here. He says, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like the beryl, which was a fine stone, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words was like the voice of a multitude. Folks, this is what I believe about this passage of Scripture. I think Daniel was looking at a pre-incarnate image of the Lord Jesus Christ right before his very eyes. This matches almost identically with Revelation chapter 1. I mean, this was a fantastic thing for Daniel to see. There are several reasons why I believe that. Number one is because of its similarity to description of Revelation chapter 1. Also, it's because of this, that when he saw Gabriel, the angel, he didn't have that kind of reaction. We don't believe necessarily that this was Michael, because Michael comes a little bit later, but we do see that this man, this particular image, this particular, as it's called in Scripture, a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just seems like it was Jesus, the Son of Man. Look at verse 7. Look at his response here. We'll just work our way down. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. That would also be similar to what the Apostle Paul experienced, if you remember. But he saw a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. In verse number 8, it says, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. This is very, very similar. Again, backing up why I believe this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is similar to what the Apostle Paul experienced. It knocked him to the ground. It was similar to what John experienced. And it was obviously something that was similar to the experience of many who, when they saw the glory of God, even those on the Mount of Transfiguration would have had a moment where it would just have floored them. And that was the effect that it had. The Bible says Daniel had no more strength. Look at verse 10. What happens here, it says, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. So now Daniel is being summoned. He's being awakened by an angel. You say, Pastor, do you think this person, or this being rather, is the Lord Jesus Christ who is setting him up? I don't believe that is, because of several reasons, but one of those is because it seems similar to what Gabriel would have said to him in the past. And the other one is this, is that he now is giving Daniel a message as if it were from the Lord. So now we have a different, in my opinion, we have a different celestial being there. And my understanding of this, by men who have studied this passage far deeper than I, was that this probably was the angel Gabriel. And look at what he says in Daniel, verse 11. He says, Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Aren't you glad for the love of Christ tonight? Aren't you thankful that in all of the darkness and all of the scariness and all of the mystic kind of nature of what Daniel was going through, God knew enough. God knew enough of Daniel's frail being to speak to a man who was 85 years old. He had not eaten, or not eaten at least in abundance, for 21 plus days. And God says, Daniel, you're loved. He said that in the prior chapter as well. And Daniel must have been relieved to hear that. So that's number two. Number one, the setting of the vision. Number two, the scene within the vision, the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then number three, we find the struggle of the unseen powers of the world. This is an interesting statement. This is another reason why I believe this is not the Lord Jesus Christ. Go with me to verse 12. We go from Christ being revealed in verses 5 and 6 to now an angel speaking with him. Verse 12, he said unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Below Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, here's a lot of questions. Let's all kind of focus in on this part just for a moment. Daniel is awakened by this angel. The angel sits him up. He gets him taken care of. He restores some of his strength to him, and he allows him to be able to look up and to speak and to understand exactly what's being said. And he says several things to him. He speaks about God in the third person, so this was not God speaking to him. It was God sending a messenger to him through an angel. And then he makes an interesting statement. He says, for 21 days, the prince of Persia has warred against me. Here's where we get into this just a little bit. And we say, well, why was Daniel's prayer not answered right away? Hey, Daniel, by the way, was not used to his prayers taking 21 days to be answered. Wouldn't you like to have that problem in your life, you know? And that's where Daniel was. So God explains this to him. He's neglected social activity. He's fasted. He's mourned. And the passage reveals why Daniel did not get his prayer answered. Have you ever wondered why you don't get your prayers answered? Commentator John Phillips had this to say about this. He said, three reasons why our prayers go unanswered. Number one, sometimes we are in no spiritual condition to receive an answer to the prayer that we're asking for. And that's the truth. Sometimes we're asking God for good things, but God says, if I gave that to you, you could not handle it at this time. So until we get you to a place where you can handle it, the prayer goes unanswered. Number two, he said, sometimes we ask amiss, and God withholds the answer to give us time to see for ourselves how wrong our request is. But number three, sometimes God uses natural means to accomplish his supernatural purposes, and often it takes time for such results to be brought to pass. So here's the answer for why sometimes our prayers are not answered. The reality is that sometimes our prayers are not answered. They go unanswered because there's spiritual warfare that we cannot see. There's spiritual warfare that we cannot understand. Apparently, this prince of Persia was not a human prince, but he was a principality. Go with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's try to understand this a little bit more clearly tonight. I want you to find your place there in Ephesians and just hold your place in the book of Daniel, because we'll go back there very quickly. And I want us to see what God tells us, not only in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament as well, about spiritual warfare and why it's important to understand that there is a lot more going on that meets the eye. By the way, another proof, I think, for why this particular being that is speaking to Daniel is not the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to him. I believe the Lord revealed himself to Daniel, but then I think Gabriel or another angel was speaking to him, because if a second-hand demon, which is who the prince of Persia was, if a second-hand demon had tried to resist the Lord Jesus Christ, there would have been no resistance that could have been done there. There would have been no delay. But there was in the instance of this. The New Testament helps us with this. Look at chapter 6, and let's look in verse 10. God tells us, and we'll be back in this, by the way, toward the end of the year in the book of Ephesians. We're studying that on Wednesday nights. But he says, finally, my brethren, what are these next two words? If you would, say them out loud with me. Be strong. Isn't that interesting that that's what the angel told Daniel twice? He said, Daniel, I want you to be strong. Hey, I say unto you, be strong. God wants us to understand that while there is spiritual warfare going on, we have no reason to be afraid. We should, as God's people, be strong. Say those words with me. Ready? Be strong. And he says, be strong in the power of the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Say that with me tonight. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Can I tell you something tonight? The real struggle is not the United States against China. The real struggle is not the United States against Russia. The real struggle is not Afghanistan versus the Taliban. You take any modern day conflict, anything that's going on in the world today, and you look at it and you have to understand there is a spiritual undertone that is associated with that conflict. Hey, listen, the devil is the prince and the power of the air, and he wants to create chaos on this earth. So the Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against, look at this, against principalities. Now, hold your place there. We'll come back to this, but hold your place there, and I want you to see this in chapter 9 or chapter 10 of Daniel again. The Bible says that this angel comes to Daniel, and he says, verse 13, "For the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia." So imagine Daniel in his vision. He's listening, and he's in and out of consciousness. This great spiritual overwhelming sensation has taken control of him. He's just in somewhat of a trance, and I could imagine that for Daniel it might be hard to discern between truth and reality and that which is not truth or reality. He's just struggling with his cognizance at the time, and the angel tells him, he says, "Hey, listen, God heard your prayer and God sent me, but while I was on the way here, Satan had one of his princes who was over the dominion of Persia to withstand me, and while Daniel was on his knees, there was a spiritual war going on." Here, pause right now, just for a moment. Let's think about this. Where is true warfare accomplished for the believer? On our knees. In prayer. And did you know this? Your prayer can affect the outcome. Are you with me tonight? Listen, Daniel's praying, he's fasting, and the Bible says from the moment that God heard Daniel's prayer and he began to discipline or chasten himself, he began to put himself under all of that to say, I just got to seek the Lord, I've got to ask God to do something in my mind and reveal this to me. It seems that Satan immediately said, I don't want that prayer to be answered, I'm going to fight that with all I have. Now, think with me if you would for a moment what happens here. This angel, we'll say it's Gabriel, if you think it's someone else, that's fine because his name is not included there, I think it's Gabriel. Gabriel is telling Daniel, hey, listen, I came to give you a message. Gabriel was the herald angel. And he said, I was withstood by the prince of Persia. Now, the prince of Persia is also an angel. You say, what kind of angel? A fallen angel. The Bible says a third of the angels in heaven were cast down with the devil to the earth. That's how all of that went down back at the very beginning, if you will. And he said, I was withstood by a very powerful demon, a powerful fallen angel. And he said, as a matter of fact, it was getting so bad that I had to use a lifeline. And guess who God sent? God sent Michael. Well, here's the good news about Michael. By the way, I think that if you read the scripture here at the end, I think that if you believe that everyone has a guardian angel, I believe that Daniel's was Michael because he actually references that at the end, but that's neither here nor there. And so all of a sudden, Michael shows up, and guess what? Michael is not the herald angel. Michael is the military leader of the forces of heaven. If you were to go to Revelation chapter 12 and read through all of that, you would see where Michael is going to lead the powerful heavenly host into the final conquest. And I'm telling you, there is perhaps no more powerful angel in heaven than the angel Michael. Matter of fact, there was only one more powerful than him. And his name was Lucifer. Jude verse 9, if you look at Jude, of course, it only has one chapter, but in verse 9 of that, if you were to look at that and you were to see what that says, you would find that there was a time when Michael the archangel and Lucifer were fighting over the body of Moses. The reason for that was obvious. It seems like if they had brought the body of Moses down off of the mountain, the people of Israel would have probably enshrined it. They would have worshipped it, and God didn't want that, so God sends Michael down to take care of that. And the Bible says that even Michael, when he fought against Lucifer, durst not bring against him railing accusation. Let me just kind of put that in layman's terms for you. He did not trash talk the devil. Hey, listen, this whole idea of, oh, come on up here and fight with me, devil. I've got greater is he that is in me. Yeah, but it's he that is in you. It's not you. Even Michael was respectfully aware of the power. And you know what he did? He said he didn't bring against him railing accusation, but he adjured him in Jesus' name. You can look that up later. It's Jude chapter 9. Regardless, it seems like Satan had a powerful unseen network. So go back to Ephesians chapter 6. He says, we wrestle not against the flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We'll go into this more, so this is just a kind of a commercial. We'll go into this more when it comes to comes time for us to cover it in the book of Ephesians. But friends, we need to make sure that we are armored up. Put on the whole armor of God. So that explains all the conflict in the world today. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. The last thing we see, sorry I had you turn back to Ephesians, but now I'm going to bring you back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 10, as we see where Daniel was strengthened in this, and the transition leads us right in. This is, again, just the introduction, so that's all we're covering tonight. We're not going to get to chapter 11. But look what happens here. After Daniel hears all of this, he says in verse 14, he says, I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, he said, I set my face toward the ground and became dumb. Again, Daniel passes out. He can't speak. And behold, one of them, the similitude of the sons of men, touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. How can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. That's the first thing we notice, is Daniel's weakness is revealed in these verses. But then we find where God's power and God's messenger removed his weakness. Verse 18, then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And he goes on and he gives him all of this instruction. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. And look what he says in verse 20, and we'll conclude with these two verses. Knowest thou whereof I am come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So you know what the angel's saying here. He's saying, hey, I've got to give you a message. He said, but I'm going to get back up here, and we're going to get back to war. Me and Michael, we have some demons to destroy, if you will. Could you imagine? I mean, my goodness, just the picture alone is amazing. He says, but I want you to know that there's just going to be all-out war for a while. And he said, here's my point. Verse 21, I will show thee what is noted in the scripture of truth. Can I tell you, no matter how hard the devil tries, he cannot keep God from showing you what is in the scripture of truth. And he goes on, and he says, there is none that holdeth me with me in these things but Michael, your prince. So whether Michael was Daniel's guardian angel, or perhaps he was the one who was in charge of the region, if you will, of that way, I can't say. But it seemed like the angel was saying, hey, Michael and I, we have this taken care of. I've just come to give you a message. And that's where we leave off with this. Gabriel says the best is yet to come, and you have to come back next week and find out what the rest of it says, okay? So a lot of information, and information heavy, and more of introduction tonight. But let's pray. And when we pray, would you stand with me, okay, tonight? Let's pray together as we stand, and let's ask.